Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon. And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please, just get on with the show. Yes.
Okay, and welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. We are starting our D&D 5th edition campaign with Curse of Strahd. This is going to be our prelude, and we're going to run through the Death House, which is at the back of the campaign book, and it's a really kind of nasty, difficult scenario aimed at level one characters. I've slightly rewritten it, added some story, and the characters are starting today at level two. So, let's introduce yourselves, guys. I'm joined by four very, very talented players, all with a range of RPG experience, all who've been part of the podcast for a good while now. Do you want to start us off, Owen? What's your name? And that doesn't work, does it? Who are you?
I love how you start off with four talented RPGers, and then about 2.5 hours time, you fucking guys are just ruining my story. Alright, guys, today I'm playing Seth Thorngage. He's a level 2 rogue halfling who has a background as an entertainer. And I'm Owen, I guess.
Dave, do you want to follow up?
My name's Dave. I am playing a noble dwarven paladin named Ulrich Nachthammer Godson Hochnacher.
What the fuck?
I'm noble, I have lots of names.
He said Knocker.
Nachthammer.
Aaron, do you want to follow that up?
Yeah, hi guys. I am going to be playing a dragonborn paladin tonight by the name of Sulfarax. Chaotic good paladin, and we'll see what kind of fun and adventures we can get into with him.
And last, we have Niall joining us from Canada today.
I am playing a high elf called Voran Alar. He is a level 2 wizard, and like every other wizard, he's curious about everything arcana, and he left his hometown to go traveling and adventuring to seek out mysteries and the magic of the world.
Fantastic. And so this adventure starts in the Sword Coast, so the Western Hearthlands of the Forgotten Realms. And each one of you has had a very strange and mysterious invitation delivered to you. None of you are entirely sure where it came from. Like, maybe it was like, I mean, depending where you were, if you were camping, maybe you woke up and it was found maybe on your bedroll. If you were in your house, if you have a house, maybe it was knocked through the door. But either way, all of you have found this incredibly expensive invitation addressed to you. It's in like black, really black, expensive paper with gold design all around, like sort of really art deco designs. When opened up, it says, High Mage Archeron commands you to attend a very unique birthday party for Lady Belladonna Archon. Terror, humiliation, perhaps even murder will be the entertainment, with 10,000 gold pieces paid to those who survive the night at the Death House.
You sure this isn't a Call of Cthulhu game? Just saying.
Yeah, I did get a bit carried away with writing this. So in that vein, I'd like you guys to give me some either history or intelligence checks, depending whether you're trained. See if you've heard of the Death House, because it is a, you know, a reasonably famous place.
So I have an ability from my entertainer background to like collect local rumors and gossip. So any chance I can get a modifier for my roll because of that?
I'll let you roll with advantage. So roll twice and give me the best.
With a minus one, I rolled a 14 and a 14. So I got 13.
Okay, you found a few things. So at first you recall that about 100 years ago, there was a huge fire at this place, which is sort of northeast of Waterdeep, about 3 days' travel, and around 30 people were killed. You kind of do a bit more sort of digging through your memory, maybe even a bit of research, and you found that a death cult was based there. And the 30 people who had died were either members of the death cult or their prisoners. And with a 14, you also learn that the death cult was led by someone called Gustav Durst, a nobleman who went mad after his wife committed suicide. So a lot of stuff came out there. That's good. Dave, I should probably call you Ulrik.
Close enough. Can I send my retainers out to sort of gather gossip and whatnot?
Sure.
And get the name of that guy.
So give me the roll.
Oh, I was going to ask you to repeat the name.
It's on the invitation.
So write it down.
Oh sorry. Gustav Durst. Gustav Durst. So give me. Can you give me a history int roll?
History. I got a 6.
Yeah. Beyond that, maybe like sliver of information, no more. Sylvarex.
Well, history is not very high at all. Can I just roll an intelligence check again?
Yeah, definitely.
A bit higher this time. I roll a 9.
Again, you've never heard of the Death House. It's not something that you know about.
What,
and lastly,
strange place.
Voron.
All right. Let's hope it goes better this time.
Come on, smart guy.
18. Woo!
Brilliant. So
I feel like Voron's our minder. Take us over the weekend.
Yeah.
So, in addition to the information that you'd already found out, that you also realised that over the past century, a number of people have either gone missing in the vicinity or have been found dead inside the Death House. All the people found dead inside were found dead in horrible and painful ways.
That's since the cult killings?
That's over the last 100 years, yeah. People have,
okay.
Lots of people have been missing. I wouldn't say lots, like a handful, like maybe... half a dozen, perhaps.
Okay. But completely unsolved kind of job.
Completely unsolved, yeah. It's going to take a few days' travel. When the time comes, some large black carriages arrive at your various, wherever you are, and there's an offer to take you there. And we're going to start off with Owen's carriage, if that's okay. So I'm assuming you're from Waterdeep. I think that's what we talked about before. So it's midsummer. For the most part, the lands around Waterdeep are beautiful at this time of year, lush and sprawling, an endless expanse of bright green meadows and thickly wooded hills. It's not until you leave the hamlet of Rassilanta, about half a day's ride north of Waterdeep, the capital, that you feel that you've entered a different and less hospitable world. Every part of the landscape seems bleak and ungiving. The grass looks parched. The sky, even on this perfect summer's day, presses down on you, and the soil is a faded pink, the same sickly colour as an open wound. So here's the kind of what it looks like as you leave Waterdeep. You see that sort of lovely lush area? And as you sort of travel further, it gets darker and more oppressive. And as you approach...
Forestry.
Is that Witcher 3 screenshots you've got there?
Yeah, I've got all sorts of things. To some Waterdeep denizens, this flat and infertile section of the Western Heartlands is known as the Long Road. Others call it the Sword Coast's Great Dead Heart. And is with a sense of unexplained unease that after almost 3 days of travel, you finally pass through the town as Amphale and catch a glimpse of your final destination through the trees, the abandoned manor that history has dubbed the Death House. Your carriage sort of gallops down a short hill and stops outside a large iron gate on a sort of broken cobbled area. The iron gate is tall, maybe 2 or 3 times taller than a man, and built into an equally tall grey wall. There are 2 people stood by the gate, like peering through. The gentleman, tall, handsome, very, very expensive dress, expensively dressed. Whereas the woman, equally expensively dressed, reasonably short, probably just below medium height, blonde haired, and sort of gazing as you're in your direction as you step out of the carriage. She mutters something to her companion, and they both turn and look. Well, how kind of like noble humans of a certain type may look down upon a halfling dressed as you are.
Dressed as I am, what's that supposed to mean?
Exactly.
Was that in character, or?
I thought it looked pretty good in character. Well, the character, non-character, I didn't take it.
Let's say that the clothing they're wearing is probably a year's wage for a common man.
So they've, I've hopped out of the carriage, they've kind of, am I right at the gate, or is this kind of, I'm out of earshot, like I can't hear what they're muttering, there's no hope for me?
I'd say that the sort of cobbled area is about 10, 20 foot across, and you're at one end, just stepping out of your carriage, and they're at the other. There's also a couple of carriages parked near you.
All right, I'll jump down out of the carriage. My pen pipes are on my neck as an entertainer. Stroll over to the two people and say, "I'm invited to the Dead House. Are you guys here for the party?"
Yes, William Vinny Fischer, Marquis William Vinny Fischer, and he like holds out his hand to shake you.
Was that the one name or two names? I just lost what the fuck just happened.
He then sort of thinks better of it and puts it behind him. And the woman looks down at you and says, Mona Beck. Lady Mona Beck. Are you the entertainment?
I just got the invite. The name's Seth. I'm well known in Waterdeep as the best pan flute player in all the land. God, I really wish I brought that fake recorder to do that something though. I assume I'm here to entertain the guests, Mona and your friend
William.
Billy there.
You can call me the Marquis. Are you going to let us in? We've been here for rather a while.
I don't have the keys to it. What do you mean Marquis? Are you a tent?
Oh dear. At that minute, two more carriages can be seen upon the rise, and within, I don't know, about 30 seconds, they come down into the main area, and Voron and Suvarix get out.
Hello.
Sorry.
My name is Voron. I've got a piece of mail about this Death House gathering. What's going on? I'm a high elf, so I'm just kind of, even if they're dressed better than me, I'm still looking down on them like they're just lowly humans.
And this
kind of a bit of arrogance to me.
This massive frame of a beast steps down from the carriage with clanks of metal in each step he takes, and I kind of look around and survey the area around me and peer into this little note that I'm clutching in my hands. Yes, I wonder if this is the correct place.
The Marquis looks at you. What the hell is going on here? You're not nobles. What kind of party is this?
And he sort of turns around and starts like banging on the gate to try and get attention. You can see through the gate, the driveway sort of curves up probably several hundred meters. And in the distance, you can see the completely pitch black form of maybe a three-story house. Windows completely black and hollow. No sign of light at all.
Looks like a charming place. Does anyone know the lady who lives here?
Is the gate closed or...?
Mm-hmm. The gate is both closed and locked.
Can I step through the bars? I'm a halfling.
Give me probably like an acrobatics check if you want to choose, yeah? If I'm trying squeezing through.
Squeeze. So, a plus 5 roll. Excellent.
Somebody get out the lard.
Grease me up, woman!
Can I cast grease on him?
Like halflings and butter.
Oh, man. Plus 5. I got an 8 total. God damn it.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck in there now.
I'm carrying a little festive weight. I'm sorry, guys.
I can try and kick him through.
Oh, no. I'm real common as well. Just in case people haven't got us.
Okay.
A little help here, guys.
So you are actually stuck here. Like, the gate is rusty and it's pretty painful. And you manage to... You're basically facing towards the house. And because your head's in there, you can't really see behind you at the people sort of pushing and pulling you to get you out. But you can see a shadow moving down the carriageway towards you. It's kind of ungainly, like almost jerking as it sort of approaches through the darkness.
Guys, we've got company. I think there's someone coming. I can't really see them. Can I really see that?
Do I have any better vision on it because of my dark vision?
Yeah, give me a perception check.
Doesn't dark vision have a range to it?
Dark vision is... 60 you can see feet. In dim light to 60 feet. Yeah. Is he further away than that?
I'd say he's probably... Or it's like approaching the 60 feet mark now.
Don't give him an option to fuck you over. Just roll the dice, guys.
19.
Okay, it's an ungainly and thin, badly dressed young man. His skin is white and... pallid, unhealthy, like he's obviously not shaved for a while, and he's sort of jerking with a limp down the driveway towards you.
This guy's more my style.
he's gonna be a couple of minutes, and you can hear in the distance with that perception check, from the road behind you, there is the sound of clattering hooves.
Oh yeah? I kind of turn around and check out what that is.
For your edit, can you add in the Monty Python hooves?
It's funny you should say that, because Dave's character, Ulrich, is going to arrive. The player's handbook allows you to take a noble background, and there's an option that lets you have a retinue. So Ulrich has got... Dave, do you want to tell us, what has Ulrich got?
What do I see in the distance?
Yeah, what's coming towards
I have a noble squire and a valet, as well as a rather large, ornately, with all its hair ornately braided and things, riding pig.
Of course.
Which has obviously come from some sort of mutant magical boar background, so... Along with the clop, 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 you're the odd...
don't try and make it more offensive by saying riding pig. You have a pig.
You have a big fucking pig.
It's a riding pig as opposed to an eating pig.
Well, it weighs about, what was it, 700 pounds and stands about nine hands high. So it's the size of a small horse.
It's still and a pig, though.
You have a pig and flavored Shetland pony.
It's covered with brown... It's a boar. It's got brown, thick hair, and it's a very, obviously very well maintained and cared for.
Pig. Please tell me you've named your pig.
Or boar. No, but I totally am now.
So, are your retinue dwarves as well?
My retinue are dwarves as well, yes.
Because you've got three. So you've got your squire, your servant, yeah, and a groom.
Well, we mentioned sort of like swap because it doesn't provide any rules to have horses in the beginning, so I thought you wanted me to swap one of my retainers.
No, I think this is hilarious. So okay. In the player's handbook, you're allowed a retinue of three, including a groom, but you're not allowed to have enough money for a horse.
is it a groom for you then?
So, like, so it is. We were joking. It's like they expect you to have the guy with the
coconuts. if you follow the rules as raw, you have a groom, a squire and a servant, but no horses.
No horses.
So we're running around like Kanye West and his entourage.
So we've said that they've all got. So you're going to have a riding pig, and they're on ponies. And I've said, yep. Dave, you're allowed to roleplay the squire, but the other two are up for grabs. So if anyone wants to roleplay the other two,
can I roleplay the pig?
Sure.
Can we just point out that we are good friends with God's Father? We're not robbing their stick. Because this does feel a bit like it.
Did they do it?
No, they have oinkers.
They've got like a really cheap thing.
Like a teacup pig. It's like a pet. It's like a Jack Russell Terrier.
That's not what we're doing at all.
No. No, I want to swap it out for a war pig.
How is that different? Is that just a pig with like leather?
It's like swapping, instead of skinning a pony, it's reskinning a war horse, which has fun things.
So the war pig and the three ponies screech to a halt, spraying sort of dust everywhere. Because remember, this is like a really hot summer's day, although you do feel it's quite oppressive in this area. And they all dismount and march towards you.
I'm not getting through, guys.
If I say cast a spell that would use a daily slot in this situation, will it be back by the time we get to the death house?
No.
Okay, then I'm not greasing you out.
And we have the name of the episode.
I can't see. I'm not greasing you out.
The one of the retainers who's wearing sort of a bit more almost military livery steps forward. He's also carrying my lance. Speaks up and like, if I may introduce his noble lord Ulrich Nachthammer Godson Hochnacher the Third. Then I'll step forward. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
I greet him. I say good evening and welcome, but I speak Dwarvish, so I say it in Dwarvish, just out of a sign of respect, because he seems to be kind of one of those kind of people.
You're the worst high elf ever.
And I give him a kind of bow.
Ah, you have spent time with the hill dwarves then?
No, but I've studied a lot in my lifetime. Yes.
My character kind of blows a hot blast of air through his nose, like unimpressed.
My character's... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Still stuck.
So I'm facing towards the shadowy figure coming towards me, reach back behind me blindly. Seth, nice to meet you.
May I inquire what is with the halfling in the bars? Is he a night's entertainment? A fool, a jester?
Yes, he is. He's Lady Mona Beck. Nice to meet you. And this is the Marquis. What did you say your name was?
Marquis de Venefisia.
And at that moment, the skinny figure like approaches the gate and he's unlocking it. And he looks even more sort of terrible and woebegone than he did in the shadows. And he completely ignores Saf and just pushes the gate open with him in it.
His little arms and legs wiggling. Like,
I hope he'll become famous, because that could be gift in the sound clip. So
hello. Right, you need to come with me right now. Quickly now, come on. Quickly, come on. Okay, my name is Derek. I'm the owner of the house, and I've been charged to bring you up there.
And at that moment, every single light goes on in the house, and like light blazes out from every single window, shining across the driveway. And you're pretty sure, Saf, at that moment, just looking up, you see something silhouetted in one of the windows, like a really odd shape. It's gone as soon as you saw it.
Can you come with me, please, quickly? Come on, all of you now, come on.
What did we name my other retainer? I've got Herman and...
Derek.
Manfred.
Manfred was...
Herman and Manfred.
And what was the last one?
Dietrich is my squire.
You're just testing Joe's ability to pronounce German names at this point. No. I should have went with Dirk. I love Dirk. I think it's a hilarious German name.
So the lady goes to this guy.
Is this 10,000 gold pieces reward real? Yes, very good question. Well, maybe. You should probably ask the hosts. I don't know. Will you come with me, please? Come on, come on, follow me.
And he begins, like, marching down the carriageway up to the house.
Manfred, Herman, see to the animals. Dietrich?
Yes, my lord. No. Okay.
Yes, sire.
At least nobody tried to do a Baldric impersonation.
So,
yes, I have a cunning plan.
You do notice to one side there does seem to be like a stable building, sort of off to the left, slightly away from the house, and the servants head off in that direction.
Dietrich just sort of takes up position to my right and just behind, carrying my shield, which has my livery on it.
I wander over to Saf and I just grab him by the belt and yank him out from the fence.
Don't need anything, Bretjo. Nailed this.
Nailed it.
Done. It's done.
Just place him on
I
the
I was waiting for someone to do that. But I thought that was like, this is genius. I've got to be hilarious. I should stop drinking rum right now.
Oh, God. Yeah, you've peaked.
It really is this sort of tall, gaunt building. Most of the windows are sort of plain glass, sort of set into sort of heavy lead. A few of them are stained glass, and the light inside makes them sort of shine blood red across the carriageway and into the woods that surround the house. You approach up to the doorway, and this guy, the owner of the house, sort of stops. I call him Derek. I didn't actually write that down. I think I did.
As we're coming up the driveway, could I cast Detect Magic on him as we're walking along, just subtly?
On the owner of the house?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's a ritual. It takes a minute to cast, so as we're going up, I just kind of...
So, with a ritual, I'm pretty sure it's like a ritual, so you'd, like, lay out candles on the floor.
Oh,
and
it depends. It depends on the components.
Hold on.
We're going to have to rule lawyers this.
Okay.
Can you describe the way that you cast it?
Well, it's just...
There is actually rules.
It's thematic and verbal.
Does it have... There's usually a casting time with a ritual.
One minute, he said that.
Okay. So casting time... Detect Magic is one action, and the duration is 10 minutes. It's verbal and thematic, so there's no actual materials required. So
yeah,
candles
that's
and
not a ritual. That's a spell.
It has it, but you can cast it as a ritual.
Ah.
So hang on, let's just check the rules for rituals very, very quickly. Certain spells have a special tag ritual. Such a spell can be cast following the normal rules for spell casting, or the spell can be cast as a ritual. The ritual version of the spell takes 10 minutes longer to cast than normal, and also doesn't expend a spell slot, which means the ritual version of spell can't be cast at a higher level. To cast a spell at the ritual, the spell caster must have a feature that grants the ability to do so, which you will do. So it basically it takes 10 minutes to cast. So yeah, I mean, I picture it like you'd light candles and you'd burn incense, and it's not something you can do while walking along. I think you'd need to have the spell memorized to do that. Yeah,
but no, can't you? You can cast it as a ritual, or you can cast it and discard that spell slot.
Exactly.
I don't
want
to discard a spell slot yet, so I'm not going to.
Okay.
Yeah. So you approach the house. Derek turns around once you get the top and says, "So." The master of the house, that's me, I guess. But anyway, the host of the party has said I need to collect all of your weapons if you've brought any.
I'll hand him my short sword.
Oh, brilliant, thank you. And he sort of holds it, but like really ungainly, as if he's definitely not trained in that.
Do I get a ticket or something to get it back? I mean, and a short sword for a halfling is a lot shorter than your average sword, and I'm clearly like 4 foot shorter than everyone. Like, how do I know I'm going to get my sword back?
You could probably ask the host that. Good question. But you can go in now, okay? Who's next?
Does a staff count as a weapon? Like, would he look at it like that, or can I just kind of...
Good question. Do you need it to walk? Is it a limping staff, as it were?
A limping staff?
It is. I have a bad leg.
Oh, it's probably okay then. That's probably fine. Okay, in you go. Bye.
Bye.
I hobble in, faking it.
I just start walking past with Dietrich just behind me.
Hey, hang on. I need your weapons, I'm afraid, if you want to come in.
You would attempt to separate a noble paladin from the symbol of his power.
And then the Marquis goes, that's a damn good point. A gentleman and his weapon must never be separated. And he gives like a really lascivious wink to Mona Beck. Yes, very funny. No, you can't go in without giving me your weapons, I'm afraid. Roll a insight check, Ulrich.
20! Total crit!
Okay, Derek is really, really, really unwilling to enter the house. Like, the way he's standing, he's trying to keep away from it as possible. Like, he stepped on one of the sort of steps leading up to the door and then immediately jumped off it. Like, he does not want to enter this house at all.
In that case, I'll just sort of look over to Dietrich. Say, Dietrich, give him my shield. And as soon as he's sort of handing it over, and sort of encumbered with the shield, I just walk straight in.
he sort of goes to stop you, but he's like so encumbered with the shield, he almost collapses and you march on through. And William...
And I'm 200 pounds of armored, determined, bearded dwarf.
Hang on! And William Venefisia, the Marquis, marches in behind him, as does Mona Beck.
Just turn to the Marquis and say, I do not understand when the servants decided they ruled the roost.
Damn good show. Exactly right. Anyway, should we go on? I feel a drink is needed, Master Dwarf.
Yes, I think a nice Armagnac.
I take it I just get in as well, then.
Well, he's kind of like, he's now holding the shield in one hand, the halfling sword in the other, and is like sort of swaying, but like completely blocking your way. Okay, and I need your thing, hammer, is it?
Long sword. And no, you can't have it.
Well, you can't come in then.
Stop me then.
And I just walk on in.
How tall are you? How tall is the dragon?
So Farax is 6'8", I think.
Jesus Christ. Even my character has to look up to talk to him.
I'm going to ride you like a pony into battle somewhere.
I'm 4'2".
And I'm 3'6".
I'm 6 foot.
We can ride two ponies. Fuck the war pig. Oh, boys.
Okay, Sulfarix, can you just give me a perception check as you're is sort of about to push by as well, as you're pushing through?
6.
Okay, so you march on through and you join everyone else in this kind of entrance hallway. It's not long. I'll move you through to the map in a moment. A flanking set of open doors in front. So you've got sort of doors that you just walk through. You go down a very short hallway into another. There's sort of doors in front of you. Hanging on the wall is a shield emblazoned with a coat of arms, which looks to be a stylized windmill on a red field, flanked by framed portraits of stony-faced aristocrats. You push your way through the double doors at the end and enter the main room of the downstairs area. Entering the main room of the house, it's a large tiled entrance hallway, really big room. To the left is a huge stained glass window depicting an oddly disturbing design. It seems to be a silhouette of a man on a rearing black horse with its hooves aflame. A number of doors lead off into the house. To the far end, in the far end of the room on the right, there's a sort of curved staircase leading up to maybe a balcony above. There's a large welcoming fire in the fireplace. A modern-looking glass cabinet filled with expensive-looking drinks. There's like a trestle table has been set up with expensive food, that like canapes. And from somewhere you can hear the scratchy sound of music. There are also two large wooden chests.
Okay, what are kind of the dimensions of this room? Is it like a great hall in a manor, or?
Yeah, it's like the great hall in the manor. So that it sort of fills the center of the house, and there's sort of doorways moving off on either side.
A giant atrium.
Exactly.
I just sort of nod, and Dietrich just scurries off to get me a drink.
Derek hasn't followed us in, I assume, has he?
No, he's back in the hallway, looking on at you guys, basically, holding all your weapons.
Can I have a canopy in each hand and like, well, why do you guys think we're out here? It might explain the slight pot belly I have, a surprisingly large pot belly for a small little halfling, which now has like stretch marks across the stomach and vertical bar shape.
The Marquis strolls over to Saf. You said the entertainment? How about playing us a tune?
Joel, here you're going to find a terribly, terribly bad, like, 6-year-old rendition of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. on a panpipe, ideally, or any sort of woodwind instrument.
A recorder.
I frequent all the squares in Waterdeep. I make, you know, tens of pieces of silver busking. This is a personal favourite of mine.
So Lady Beck sort of strolls up to you, Ulrich.
So why do you think this eclectic group were invited? I assume you've got your invitation.
She's obviously sort of talking to you with the voice that people talk to when they've never ever spoken to someone who looks like you before.
Can we say that
she her purse.
Kneels down so that she's eye height, like yeah, talking
she
to
crouches,
a child.
She squats.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we just met. She doesn't need to get on her knees just yet.
Here sort comes of the sexism.
Comes up and just sort of prefers a balloon of something brown and smelling wonderful. Well, you see, I don't entirely know what this is about, but I was in Waterdeep investigating the disappearance of my oldest brother. Completely useless family member of the family. I'm sure he will turn up in a couple of weeks with some red-headed human whore on his arms like he did the last time. And this invitation seemed like a welcome distraction from family politics.
She's looking really uncomfortable when you said whore, but is like desperately to show her good breeding, continuing the conversation.
Oh, well.
And at that moment, the doors you've just come through are thrown open. An extremely gorgeous brunette marches in. She sort of surveys the room, looks at all the guests and goes, "Who the fuck are all of you?" And at that moment,
kind of woman.
The window, the huge stained glass window, explodes almost with a scream around it. Sulfaric. Voron and Saf, can you make me dexterity saving throws as shattered glass, huge sort of panes of glass spray in all directions?
Oh, fuck's sake.
Can I make an acrobatics check?
Well, we suck.
No, it's a dexterity saving throw.
Come on. Okay, fair enough. With a +3, I rolled 11.
I rolled 4 with a +2.
I rolled 2.
Okay, so if you got under 10, you take 1 point of damage. I'm going to say that, Dave, your character, Ulrich, you've just noticed that this woman who's just stepped in is basically in line to get all the glass, and she's failed her saving throw. So I'll give you a reaction if you want to take it.
Yes, great.
Why did you roll
a
d6?
That's the damage.
For damage.
I guess I'll try and jump in the way of the glass then.
Okay, give me either acrobatics or athletics. So athletics, like running across the room to barge you out the way. Athletics, acrobatics would be to do it sort of dodging
24
through.
24 athletics check.
Wow.
No, to dive. You gotta scream no in German.
I've got a plus five. Nine. And I'm older than 19.
Nine.
Wow. Okay, so you take 1 point of damage as glass flies around you, and you basically land on top of Belladonna Archeron, as you'll soon find out that she is, saving her from damage, and a huge like pane of glass embeds itself in the floor next to you. It would have definitely eaten. And she sort of looks at you, gazes into your eyes, and just goes, "Why? Get off me, you fucking pervert!"
I'm liking this woman more and more.
And as she says that, another character appears at the top of the stairs. An elderly gentleman, well-dressed, holding a cigarette. He looks down at you and goes, "You should feel honored. That's probably the first person with testicles she's ever said that to."
How do you respond to that? Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Death House.
And roll opening credits. That's the name of the movie!
Thank you for listening. We'll be back at the same time next week with the next installment of The Death House. If you would like to listen right now and also support the show, check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. And I want to say a huge thank you to Felix and Michelle for becoming our latest Patreons. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions or requests, you can contact us on Twitter at @HWRPodcast and on Facebook by searching for How We Roll Podcast. Before we go, I want to say a huge thank you to BattleBards for providing us with much of the music and sound effects that we use, and you can get them for yourself at battlebards.com. That's all from us. See you next time on How We Roll.